From KLW News in San Francisco, this is a special edition of Cross Currents, context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Bubble Park City College.
South San Francisco.
Downtown.
ATL.
Pittsburgh.
P-World.
Oakland. Corona Heights, San Francisco.
Coming up, we'll take a walk down San Francisco's Grand Boulevard.
It's the spine of the city, and it's a gathering spot, and it's also a little bit magnetic.
We'll learn what Market Street has been.
In a town of 500 people with no source of fresh water, no overland connections to anywhere else in the world, decides to make the street 120 feet wide.
And what it could become.
Let's not just put it back the way it was. Let's really fix it.
Does the way you build a city tell you what kind of a place it is? We'll be asking that question today on Cross Currents.
Around 250,000 people use Market Street every day, and in every way. They take the bus, ride BART, walk to work, shop, even live here.
In 2016, the entire road between Octavia and the Embarcadero will be torn up and repaved. And it's not just a standard construction project. It's a chance to reshape and reimagine San Francisco's main drag. Here's City Transportation Director Ed Reskin.
If we're going to go through the expense and disruption to repair the surface and infrastructure of Market Street, let's not just put it back the way it was. Let's really fix it.
The Better Market Street project will cost around $250 million, but it's not yet clear what the money will buy. On the table is everything from a total ban on private cars to dedicated bike lanes, from fewer muni stops to sidewalk cafes and parklets. Project managers say they want Market Street to be a place to stop and spend time.
The Department of Public Works is in charge of the project, and they're working with government agencies and advocacy groups to draw up plans that address everyone's concerns. They're also holding a series of public meetings.
My main concern about Market Street right now is it seems to be dangerous for pretty much everybody, and there do seem to be a lot of friction points on them. And I think we could redesign that to reduce the friction points and make it a lot safer for all the users.
But I do like the idea of more of a walking city. My ideas are probably too extreme. I was just wondering if maybe we could just get rid of all the transit on F's on Market, just make one, but then all your transit points where everybody would change. Probably that would be too busy. So you're right. Once you make one change here, it's going to affect another area.
I think promoting public transportation and bicycle infrastructure along with pedestrian infrastructure on Market Street is really great and kind of brings San Francisco back to what it can be and what it should be, which is promoting alternative modes and thinking outside of the box.
The only thing we have on Market Street is we have the Ferry Building at the end and then we have Twin Peaks at the other end, but nothing to sort of punctuate certain special places along Market Street to make you really feel like this is a grand street.
You just heard from Ann Lyons, Raul Faust Cardona, Melissa Gordon, and Robin Levitt.
KALW's transportation reporter Julie Kane headed out to Market Street to ask some of the people behind these ideas about their vision for the area.
At the corner of 3rd and Market, where I'm standing right now, map-wielding tourists are shivering in shorts and tank tops. A man is sitting on the sidewalk with his dog. The sign in his lap says, "Anything helps." Throngs of office workers walk right by him. Their eyes are fixed intently on the screens of their smartphones. Bikes squeeze in between buses on the curb, dodging taxis and delivery trucks.
It's a pretty busy intersection, as you can see. And it's busy, I think, all the time from about 7 o'clock in the morning till almost 10 o'clock at night.
That's Mohamed Nuru. He's the director of public works in San Francisco. Next to him is Chris Upbrook. She manages the Better Market Street project.
I think Market Street is the city's main street, in a sense. I think it always has been, actually. I think its identity as our parade ground and our real civic space is still here. I think where it falls short a bit is in the day-to-day use.
Nuru and Upbrook spend their days watching the street like this. They're overseeing Market's redevelopment, and they're trying to pin down what is and isn't working here. Traffic is a big issue. Right now, private cars, taxis, delivery trucks, paratransit, and bikes all share the road with streetcars and buses.
It's hectic at best.
and scary and intimidating at worst.
Leah Shaham is the executive director of the San Francisco Bicycle Coalition. Her office is at 5th and Market. She says another thing on people's minds is how to make Market safer and more inviting for bicyclists. Bike riding is on the rise, and Market is the most used bike corridor in the city.
I talk to a lot of people who are confident riders. They're people who bike elsewhere in the city. You know, adults who really are comfortable bicycling, but they say, wow, I don't want to bike on Market Street because I'm really scared about it.
Right now, most of the bike lanes on Market are a painted line on a narrow piece of pavement shared with buses and trucks and cars. Only about 6 blocks of the street have a physically separated bike lane.
And what we hear from people is, wow, for those 6 blocks, I feel calm, I feel safe, I feel comfortable, this works.
Shaham wants that kind of comfort to extend along the entire length of Market Street. But the road isn't just for wheels.
I mean, ultimately, everyone is a pedestrian.
Elizabeth Stamp is the executive director for Walk San Francisco. Her office is a block from Shaham's at 6th and Market.
The place where the most pedestrians have been hit by cars in the whole city. And you can see it's a long crossing for folks with wheelchairs and canes, of whom there are many right here. You don't really get enough time.
Stamp says that expanding the sidewalks at corners like this would help shorten the time it takes for pedestrians to get across the street and slow down the cars fighting to get through the intersections.
And it'll help everyone to see each other better.
Making it safer to cross the street or ride a bike might seem obvious, but there's always a trade-off. Solving one problem creates another problem somewhere else, or just pushes it a block farther down the road.
Market Street is a special street in San Francisco. It's the spine of the city, and it's a gathering spot, and it's also a little bit magnetic, both in the sense that it attracts people, but some parts of it still repel people.
Stamp says the corner where she works is a good example of Market's confused identity.
It's about a block away from the mall, but it could be a world away.
She compares the blocks along Market to islands in a stream. In this case, one island is the upscale shopping and tourist district around Powell Street. The next is lined with abandoned storefronts. Many people are homeless and living on the street, or they live in tiny rooms in nearby SRO hotels. Here's City Transportation Director Ed Riskin, who works at Market and Van Ness.
For a lot of people, this is their living room, and it should continue to serve that function. And if you or I had that space, you would also might want to spend more time outside than inside.
The city estimates that about 6,000 people are without shelter on a given night in San Francisco, many on Market Street.
There may be some undesirable activity, some criminal activity, unsafe situations that the city wants to address regardless of what happens design-wise on a Market Street, but I don't think we want to lose the character of Market Street or push anyone off of it. We want to make it a nice place for more people to be in.
During the day, the street has different feelings. Some new businesses have moved in, joining art spaces like the luggage store. But compared to the bustle just a block away, the street here feels empty. At Market and Van Ness, traffic hits the city from both major bridges. It's a gateway to San Francisco. But instead of a grand monument marking the spot, there's a car wash and a donut shop.
It's not just infrastructure, it's not just design, it's economic development, it's economic vitality. So I think there's more to it than just how we lay out the streets and how we paint the lines.
That economic vitality is an important ingredient in a complex process. Money for repaving the street is in place, but coming up with the $250 million this project is expected to cost still has to be worked out. Back at 3rd and Market, Mohamed Nuru says some of that money could come from businesses that stand to benefit from the street's upgrade.
We're bringing the right type of partners, bringing the Twitters in, bringing the new businesses in, the small scale, bringing some of the restaurants in. All that adds to the vitality of a street, and they contribute and they partner with us. And so together we'll figure out what the bill will look like.
Ultimately, though, the project isn't just about the street's physical condition. It's about its character. And that's a big part of what city officials are considering as they reimagine Market. What does the street mean, and what should it be?
I think what this process has done is has woken everybody up and says, wow, if I had an idea, this is the time to get it in, because it could happen.
For Cross Currents, I'm Julie Kane.
KALW's Lupe Hernandez contributed reporting to that story. You can find links to more information about the Market Street redesign at our website. It's kalw.org. You're listening to a special edition of Cross Currents. I'm Holly Kernan.
And I'm Martina Castro. Market Street is one of the city's oldest roads and one of the most dramatically transformed. In this piece from our archives, KALW's Audrey Dilling takes us back to the mid-19th century when the road was just an idea. She started off speaking with historian Jeffrey Tumlin.
Back in 1847, around the time Market Street was first imagined, San Francisco looked a little different.
Pretty much the entire downtown was blowing sand and some scrub. If you go up to Point Reyes Station up in Marin, that's about what San Francisco looked like in 1847.
San Francisco hadn't even been called San Francisco for very long. The port town was known as Yerba Buena up until 1846, when American Captain John Montgomery showed up and seized it from Mexico. Also in 1847, everywhere I just walked, from the Embarcadero to Montgomery Street, didn't exist yet. It was all water.
The bay came all the way into Montgomery and Market and made a sort of gentle curve.
There were two major settlements camped out beside the bay. The total population of the remote and developing town was about 500 people.
And even then, the arriving Americans had such ambitions for this scruffy little settlement that they knew they needed a plan. And so the job of laying out the plan for San Francisco was given to a hard-drinking Irishman named Jasper O'Farrell, who was 26 years old at the time.
O'Farrell had a vision. The street would run directly between the two camps. He picked the most prominent landmark west of the settlements, Twin Peaks, and imagined the street pointing directly toward it.
And in a town of 500 people with no source of fresh water, no overland connections to anywhere else in the world, 6 months, you know, to any point of civilization, decides to make the street 120 feet wide. And he names Market Street after Market Street in Philadelphia. And Market Street in Philadelphia is only 100 feet wide. But because San Francisco is going to be even more amazing than Philly, Jasper O'Farrell says, no, we're going to make this one of the grandest boulevards in the world.
And so it is, at least size-wise. And over the years, all the city's public transportation came together on this one boulevard in 1967.
So the final decision to do the Muni Metro subway and to do the BART subway created dramatic change in the street. One impact was very negative, which was that for 4 years, Market Street was a big hole in the ground.
And that, Tumlin says, wasn't good for business. But then, he adds, Market's never been quite the draw Jasper O'Farrell thought it would be.
Throughout history, Market Street has had challenges in its role as a place. And part of that has had to do with thinking about the accommodation of the automobile in the third quarter of the 20th century. But I think more fundamental to that is its width.
It's just one theory, but Tumlin says city planners have learned over time that people prefer smaller, more intimate streets over grand boulevards.
Streets that work as a single space are generally not wider than 80 feet. And in fact, you know, 30 feet is a heck of a lot better. 60 feet, you know, is okay. So, you know, that's one of the challenges that we need to face. Like, how do we create a street that people do want to linger on?
That's a question the city's been trying to answer for about 50 years, which makes now just about the right time for a solution. On Market Street in San Francisco, I'm Audrey Dillon for Cross Currents.
This is Cross Currents from KLW News. I'm Holly Kernan, along with my co-host today, Martina Castro. San Francisco is going through yet another development boom. Significant changes are underway along the city's urban waterfront, from pier upgrades along the Embarcadero to the rise of business parks and research facilities in Mission Bay.
San Francisco's population rose by nearly 30,000 people in the last decade, and the influx of new business indicates it's still growing. But in this 7-by-7-mile city, where will these new residents live? As KALW's Ben Trefney reports, the city is moving on up.
Photographer Richard Morgenstein has lived in Pacific Heights since the late 1990s. Before that,
I lived in Manhattan for 3 years. I thought it was great.
In many ways, Morgenstein is still very New York. He doesn't have a car. He relies on public transportation to tote his camera bags around. But the new construction soaring above a growing San Francisco doesn't really make him nostalgic for his former hometown. Rather, he's inclined to give a Bronx cheer.
One of the issues of multiple large buildings, though, is a sort of Manhattanization of San Francisco and a change in the character of, say, street life, the character of the light of the city, the character of walkability. I look at them in a certain way as there's some negative that comes along with the positive of extra housing.
San Francisco is in transition. Just run the numbers. According to the city's Department of Building Inspection, there are 56 major developments in various stages of the approval process, with more than 5,000 residential units under construction. That means the city is Manhattanizing, according to Tim Colan, executive director of the San Francisco Housing Coalition.
We're very much interested in increased heights and density to add significantly higher levels of housing production in San Francisco and at the same time reducing the influence of private auto use.
San Francisco's general plan calls for construction of more than 30,000 housing units by 2014, with a majority affordable to moderate-income earners. A third of that is being built on the city's eastern waterfront, from Mission Bay to the south. Other primary targets include Mid-Market and SoMa, and Colan says the city's planning department is considering options in every neighborhood.
High-tech is red hot right now. The office market is red hot. There's an enormous demand, in particular in the south market and eastern part of the city, for office space, and as a result, the rental housing market is in a way going through the roof. That gets to the question of building, you know, how do we build new housing and who gets to live here?
Colan's easy solution, the one many developers are going for, is to build up. But that's easier said than done.
San Francisco, in spite of everything we might think about it, is really a very conservative city as far as land use goes, and is very, very resistant to change. And anything that adds new housing, a lot of folks get quite upset at.
Throughout the last decade, more than a dozen neighborhood associations have filed lawsuits against the San Francisco Planning Commission over aspects of their housing plans. The plans called for smart growth around major transit lines. The associations didn't think that should include bus routes, and parking's an issue. There were concerns about infrastructure, like accessing water, disagreements about how to retain historic character in neighborhoods like Pacific Heights.
Because the city was planning to change the zoning, which would have made that entire area have, you know, 100-foot-plus buildings.
Greg Scott is president of the Pacific Heights Neighborhood Association.
Which would have meant that many of the single-family homes and even some of the smaller apartment buildings would have been demolished to build these much higher buildings, and that whole area would have become like Manhattan.
But not anymore. After settlements and environmental impact reports, developers today cannot build buildings more than 40 feet tall in many parts of the city unless they have a permit from the San Francisco Planning Department. And those are hard to come by. So San Francisco skyline is being reinvented, but only so far, and mostly near downtown, which is one reason people like Richard Morgenstein are happy they moved to San Francisco in the first place.
It's still not quite like Manhattan. There's so much going on, things are moving so quickly that the pace is very different. And the pace in San Francisco has amplified somewhat or accelerated. It's not even close to Manhattan, though. It's not even close.
Which, to him anyway, is just fine. In San Francisco, I'm Ben Trefney for Cross Currents.
That story was produced by KALW's Fatima Duran. What do you think about the growth of San Francisco? How should the city prepare through housing, roads, and public transportation? Let us know on our Facebook page. We're KALW News.
This is a special edition of Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Holly Kernan.
And I'm Martina Castro. Now we head back down to Market Street to see what life is like for the people who call it home. The area around 6th and Market is dominated by vacant buildings, single-room occupancy hotels, or SROs, and strip clubs, populated by some of the city's outcasts. In 2010, the Bold Italic website collaborated with Spot.us, Public Press, and Caliber SF to collect stories from the corner of 6th and Market for 24 hours.
Writer Isaac Fitzgerald joined reporter Sam Harnett for the 6 to 8 a.m. shift in front of the Right by Liquor store, where our next story takes place. And a note for our listeners, the last names of individuals in this story have been omitted to protect their privacy.
It's a little after 6 a.m., and the contradictions have already started. A young woman in a spaghetti-strap tank top is out on her morning run. A skinny transvestite in spandex pants says hello, and a rowdy group who look like they've been up all night has gathered down by Stevenson Street. The corner of Market and 6th doesn't feel dangerous so much as busy, and almost everyone stops to say hello. A man named Michael wheels over his shopping cart of goods for sale. He's got everything from high-heeled shoes to a stack of skater magazines from the last decade.
How much for these two?
$3 cool.
$1?
$2.
$2, all right.
Done.
Sale?
Sale.
Thank you, man.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. I hope you have a good one.
I appreciate you shopping. Usually other people don't shop, like, around when they see street people. They're just like, nah. Even if you have something cool that they want, they won't do it because
they think
it's, like, streetish.
A San Francisco Chronicle truck pulls up to drop off a stack of papers in front of the liquor store. The driver, Darren, works from 1:45 to 9:45 in the morning. He says he's seen some wild stuff over the 23 years he's delivered papers. While there are still fights and drug deals in the street, he thinks the neighborhood is improving, slowly.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they don't mess with me or nothing. But it's just, you know, you mind your own business sometimes, man. You see some shit and you want to help, but...
Yeah.
You're gonna, you know what I mean?
Soon after, two of the neighborhood regulars nearly bump into us with their shopping cart.
Watch out. I don't know if you
got that morning.
Good morning.
Just trying to dance with you. Just trying
Hi, guys.
Get in.
Have a good one,
You don't
guys.
Like the way I drive? Stay off the sidewalk.
The men look like they're in their early 50s, but I suspect they're much younger. One has a scraggly mane of blonde hair. He goes by David the Lion King. His partner has a costume covered in patches, which is what he calls himself. They say they've known each other for 30 years and have spent a lot of that time wandering the streets of San Francisco.
Where are you guys headed?
In front there real quick.
Hello.
Yeah.
I need to go upstairs.
He gestures towards a single-room occupancy hotel down the street.
It's been a long night. It's been a long 3 nights.
Yeah, good time.
Not even doing any speed.
Ha-ha. Jesus.
David pulls out a bottle of vodka and offers us a swig.
We drink this. This is our problem.
There you go.
Oh, good.
David tells us how he once spent 7 nights in jail for stabbing someone who stole his stuff. And, as we soon find out, knife fights in this area are common. At around 7 a.m., one breaks out in a group gathered in front of the Right by liquor store. As people erupt in shouts and punches, a small grizzled man pulls out a big folding knife and starts swiping. The scene unfolds underneath a sign advertising the beautification of 6th and Market Street. It's a stated goal of Mayor Gavin Newsom. But there's nothing pretty about this. After a few tense minutes, the man with the knife takes off. I head down the street to Sonoma Liquors. The owner, Nick, is busy serving early morning customers.
How long have I been here?
Yeah.
I've been here 35 years.
35 years. So the neighborhood changed a lot since you started?
It never will change. The mayor himself could change it. He could clean it up. He never come around
That's
here.
That's the final word.
Back outside, a white kid in his late teens stops by the Windsor Hotel to talk with an older African-American man. I overhear them talking about drugs. A few minutes later, the older man comes out of the entryway with something clenched in each fist, and they head up together towards Market Street. They walk past Passion Cafe, a new French restaurant next to Right By. On the specials board, it's advertising Bouffe du Germain with Julian vegetables. The cafe opens at 8, just 45 minutes after the knife fight that happened outside his front door. The contradictions continue. At 6 in Market in San Francisco, I'm Sam Harnett for Cross Currents.
You've been listening to Cross Currents from KLW News. Today's team includes Isabel Angel, Julie Kane, Audrey Dilling, Panina Eilberg-Schwartz, RTM's Kunahoffs, Ashley Ann Krigbaum, Erica Moo, Chris Hoff, Ray Sue Sussman, Judy Silber, and Stephen Short. Today's show was engineered by Seth Samuel. Casey Miner is our senior editor. Our managing editor is Martina Castro. Ben Trefney is our executive editor. Also, thanks to City Car Share for providing an alternative transportation option for our reporters. City Car Share is online at citycarshare.org. And thanks to you, we are listener-supported public radio. For Cross Currents, I'm Holly Kernan. The repetitive rhyme of sight that shines brighter than the bling blinking. Eyes blinking, eyelids sinking, minds thinking. Time to unwind, time doesn't find, time to slow down. Time doesn't mean no f***ing thing, that's what I know now. I killed time and hid its body in the basement. And when the chalk traced it, the minute hands at 12 and the hour hand face 6.